League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, and welcome back to the Date My Podcast. This is season one, Date My Ex, Kyle Lampe. Kyle, how are we today?
I'm feeling great.
Are you?
I'm excited for this episode.
I'm very excited for this episode. We have a real matchmaking expert and dating coach here, Sarah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So excited to chat to you guys today.
Yay.
I have so many questions. I'm so excited for this.
I know. We're going to get in. We have so many fun questions, so many fun topics. But I think first, if you could just introduce yourself, because you have like a fascinating, interesting job and title. So if you can intro yourself and sort of give us just a quick rundown of what you do.
Absolutely. I'm a professional Cupid. So thanks for that introduction. I'm Sarah. I'm one of the lead matchmakers at Macklin. We do a bunch of things. Obviously, the main thing is helping people find love. So the cool part about our firm is we're more psychology-based too. So can kind of break it down from somewhat more of a scientific approach. Wow. But, you know, relationships aren't science. So there's a lot of other aspects of, you know, what makes someone who they are. So we'll dive into probably a lot more of that later today. But yeah, it's cool. It's not something that I think people go to college for. It's not a major. I did behavioral psychology. I did executive recruiting. And then that kind of blended into the world of matchmaking.
Wow.
So pretty fun.
That's really cool. How long have you been doing it?
So I started professionally during the pandemic. So 4 years ago.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Wow. But I've always had an inclination to like connect people. So I did that with friends. I did that with recruiting. And then I kind of married up those skills and did matchmaking.
That's really cool. Are you guys hiring?
For who? You or me?
For me.
Like hiring to be a matchmaker?
Yeah.
You want to matchmake people?
Well, I love psychology and I feel like I'm a very good people person and I read people very well.
Amazing.
Okay.
So if you need an assistant.
Okay.
Okay. That's
I'll keep your resume.
You are a true expert among an armchair expert right now. The same when I was in high school, I was always in, I said this on the last episode, so I won't get too into it, but when I was in high school, I was always in long-term relationships. I was in like a four-year relationship in high school. So for me, the fun was helping my friends date because I was like crafting texts and like different things.
Right.
You know, I don't think I'll ever be a professional matchmaker. I feel like we'll get into a lot of things, but I think it's so incredible.
Thank you. It's really cool.
So thank you for being here, for helping us out with this journey. So before we get into everything, I know that I sort of gave you a rundown of what the show is. So to do that on air and sort of just lay it out, season one of the Date My Pod, Date My Ex, I'm basically looking for Kyle's perfect match. Now, I'm only there are a few girls that will be coming on the show. I don't know these girls. I only know I've found some through Hinge, some through friends of friends. So yeah. I've talked to them on the phone. I know what they look like enough to be like, this could be a good match for Kyle. I do want to get your thoughts on the show in itself, because obviously the Date My Podcast is unique, but I think more unique is the me trying to set up my ex-fiance.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
What's wrong with
that? Bold. Obviously, it seems like you guys have a great dynamic.
Thank you.
The first thought was like, what is the timeline? What is this recency? Like, how much has been healed and processed between
Would you like to know? I can tell you. So Saturday, April 6th, I was making some tacos for a date night.
Okay.
And Jessica,
I can't believe we're sharing this.
Well, you wanted to be authentic.
Okay.
So again, Saturday, April 6th, 2024. So do that math, like 7 months ago.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I was making some tacos for date night. I'm an excellent cook. Anyone out there, ladies? I'm making tacos, and she comes in and she sits down on the couch and she goes, I have to tell you something. And me being a very supportive, loving partner, mm-hmm. I'm very interested in what my partner has to say. So I'm like, what? Like, what's up? And then she said, hey, I don't know if I want to do the life that we want to do anymore. And I continued cooking the taco meat because I'm not going to let some good meat go to waste regardless of what's happening. And then we just had a really long discussion about it. Like, I let her just tell, like, why? What's going on? Like, obviously, this is a big deal.
Yep.
And then she got into it and why. And I just heard her out. And okay. We ate the tacos.
We did. That was
nice. And kept talking about it. Like, that's wow, mature. This is interesting. Yeah.
It was followed up by weeks of couples therapy. It was followed up by a lot of work because, of course, that was my, you know, I had a lot of thoughts leading up to that. That wasn't, you know, there was even a discussion you and I had, which we won't get into, a year into our relationship where I was like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if marriage and kids are even in my future.
Totally.
Anyway, so all of that to say, thank you for sharing. But so yes, it's been Sarah's like, okay, you're not ready for this.
No,
and the show is over. Thank you.
No, let me say that because on the dates that I've gone on prior to being on this show, I put all that out there immediately because I want them to know what they're walking into.
Yeah.
And I already anticipate the question of, and I'm sure what you're going to ask me next is, am I over this? And the answer I have for that is yes, because a couple things. Mm-hmm. Number one, we went to therapy. I was in personal therapy, so I got to talk it out really
That's
well.
Awesome.
We were in couples therapy to figure out, like, hey, is there something we're missing here? We've been together for 8 years. The relationship deserves every leaf and stone to be unturned.
Yeah.
What are we? Am I missing something? Is there a way back? So that was very therapeutic. I'm also very like in my head a lot. I am very in touch with my emotions and I know why I feel certain things. So I had a lot of alone time to process that. And then ultimately what I've come to the conclusion is you can do everything right in life. You can plan everything to a T.
Mm.
You can do all the right things and take all the right steps. But life is going to happen sometimes in ways that you least expect it. And that's just – everyone knows that.
100%.
And then you have a decision. You can either decide to suffer over things you cannot control – I can't control how she feels or what she wants to do.
Right.
Or you can be thankful for the things you did get to experience. Because how many people never get to feel a connection to someone like we had? They searched their whole lives for that.
Yeah.
I got to eat and maybe I'll never have it again. But I got to experience it for 8 years. And I'm just going to be thankful for that. And I'm going to choose not to suffer over that and actually look at it as it was a beautiful time in my life that I learned a lot from. And I'm actually like, I have no bad feelings at all. But I do know what I want for my life.
That's great.
And I'm ready to move forward and find the person that wants also what I want. And
that's great.
And not be upset about this.
Okay.
That was so well said. As you can see why I like hold all the respect and
absolutely.
And this show was a lot of conversation, a lot of because I had this idea before we even separated, and it was actually season one was Date My Friend, and I was having a friend on. So
And then she decided to capitalize on our heartbreak. That's so, and here we are.
That's not true.
Turning trauma into dollars.
So anyway, Sarah, with all of that said, yes, what are your thoughts as a matchmaking expert, as a dating coach, if someone like Kyle were to come to you and say, like, this just happened to me,
right?
What are your
The end of the day, when I ask a client if they've been through a recent breakup or a divorce, separation, you know, are you ready? That really is only something that they can check in with themselves in. I pose the question. You can throw 1,001 scenarios, but there's a lot of preparation to do the inner work, but you can't really move forward without taking action. So I think you do need to put yourself out there and date and hopefully not, cling on to the first person, you know, give yourself time to explore and like reemerge and experience new things. So I do think it is the right step to move forward. Contributing to that, it's like, wow, it's bold. It is entertaining. you know, hopefully when we're screening for things, I'm curious like how much of the list that we're going to get into soon is like really pinpointing like one person than the other and like just where that might pop up, obviously. But yeah, it's from here, it sounds like you guys have done the work, which is like the biggest thing that someone can ask, to be like growth oriented, not harp on the past and hold that resentment and project that into your next partner. So as long as you're able to process that, sounds like you're headed in the right direction already. So that's awesome.
Thank you, Sarah. So I'm hired for your agency.
No.
I asked first.
Okay, we're going to get into the questions and discussions, and we are going to start with the one, the only, something we touched on, Kyle's list, his Excel checklist, his spreadsheet that he created, which he titled, you guys, Future Wife Attribute. So our fantastic producers have printed off this, three-page list.
Yeah.
Kyle, upon looking at this, how are you feeling about this list? Do you have any regrets?
Listen, this was never supposed to come off of my computer.
Okay.
This was really just a way of me, and like the ladies like to say, manifesting.
Okay.
I was writing down like, what do I actually want? What is really important to me? And I like to see things out in front of me.
Sarah, if you had a, let's say Kyle hired you and he's like, here's my list. And he came to you with this. What are you saying?
I would say let's crumple this up and start from ground zero.
Yes!
No, I think what I appreciate is like you said from the beginning, like I bring my own goods and bads, you know, I understand these, I'm not expecting 100%. I appreciate also how you're saying like I want to manifest this and I want to like articulate it and put it to paper. I think that a lot of it can be somewhat like redundant and maybe microscopic, and we need to zoom out a bit and think more values-based is what I like to emphasize a lot more, because there will be themes throughout here that I think kind of fit into mind, body, soul, you know, different belief systems and goals. So maybe it's just kind of rejigging like the bigger picture of a few of those things.
Just to give the listeners an idea, I'm not going to go through all of these, but Kyle puts a disclaimer at the top that basically says, the following list is a comprehensive dive into what I'm looking for in a wife. I do understand that everyone is different. I am flexible based on the person and what attributes they have. And in no way am I expecting someone to nail all of these 100%. The only hard line is the, in all caps, screaming at us, non-negotiables, because they are non-negotiable. And then in this document you go through, and there's like headings, body, mind, soul, political, communication, marriage, sex, children. And then at the very end, in all caps, non-negotiables. So, Sarah, with that being said, with the non-negotiables.
Yes.
I've heard different opinions where some people are like, there are hard non-negotiables that you have to stick by.
And then
other people that maybe are like, yeah, you have your non-negotiables, but things evolve based on the person you're with. Mm. And other people maybe are like, no, that's you settling if you give up too many non-negotiables. What are your thoughts there?
So thinking about negotiables and preferences, so I would say like a deal breaker would be something maybe like fundamental to like the long-term goal. If you're all about the marriage and kids and someone doesn't want marriage and kids, that could be a clear non-negotiable, like non-starter. That one I can respect, and that one I think really does it is something you're going to want to screen from the jump. Mm-hmm. So that one, totally cool. Someone watching TV, watching reality TV.
Yes, watching.
A strong personal flaw that you feel this, I need to unpack.
Sure, let's get into
who
that.
Who demonstrated
so,
this.
So these, because this isn't a 12-page thing, I had to like abbreviate, but these things mean things to me. Here's why, they're much deeper. If a person only watches reality TV, mm-hmm. I can assume that they also consume content like that the rest of their day. And I need someone who has a little more depth, because those shows are meant to be just like mind numbing and shallow. And my experience with people that I know that only watch reality TV, there's not a lot going on there. Yeah. And I need someone who needs a little more out of things. Like, let's maybe watch a documentary.
Let me say really quick, I'll read these off really quick. Kyle's non-negotiables: smoking of anything, hard drugs, drinks too much, doesn't exercise, doesn't eat well, stays up all night, hasn't done emotional work on herself, too much trauma, obsessed with posting on social media, only watches reality TV, princess behavior, masculine energy, bad hygiene, bad family. I will say,
so too much to ask.
To me, it sounds very unfair about the bad family. I admittedly have a father who came from a very tough upbringing, mm-hmm. and he is like the greatest dad I could ever ask for. Mm-hmm. If my mom had been like, oh, you're from a bad family, but my mom had a great family. So it was more so just that, mm-hmm. you know, and then also only watches reality TV. I watched the Kardashians throughout our relationship.
But you didn't only watch that. Have your hobbies, do that. But if that's, I'm talking about this only thing. And again, ladies, this was never supposed to see the light of day. Let me explain the bad family.
But if you would hire Sarah.
Sure. But we would have a deep conversation about
Yeah.
it. The bad family thing is, I don't mind if you come from a bad family, but I'm not going to deal with it. So if you're cool with not being around them because they're bad for you, I'm cool with that. But if we like have to every Christmas go see your shitty dad and mom and uncle, and there's a bunch of – it just reignites trauma in you. It's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I guess the other aspect is like, you know, we're talking about manifestation. Mm-hmm. If you do want to be – reframe things in what you do want.
Oh.
Versus –
she got me.
Versus the – not this, not this, not this, not this, because that kind of speaks it more into, and that also creates the headspace of like seeking those things mm-hmm. out of what you don't want. So those are also some kind of small adjustments that
this
we
is why
make.
You're a pro.
When you look to matchmake people, are there non-negotiables that you will look past if you really think, like, do you basically are like, if Kyle came to you and he had these non-negotiables and he said, I'm very strict on these, but you feel like you found someone who doesn't meet all of these, would you maybe still introduce them?
Yeah, I think we would give our client, like, we could challenge, you know, where they want to be challenged. So if you thought of some of these things in like more value-based elements like depth and education and intelligence, if intelligence is something important to you and depth, mm-hmm. instead of creating these criteria that narrow down the pool, you can think about things in a more broad sense. Like, if I want someone intelligent, she can demonstrate it in this way, this way, this mm-hmm. way, this way. And then you're actually like opening up the door for a lot of ways that someone can demonstrate that they're like a smart girl. And that might be at the sacrifice of her watching, or not even the sacrifice, might be dual. She's super smart and she still watches the Kardashians.
That's true.
Preach. Yes, Sarah.
Show me.
Yes, Sarah.
Who, where are they?
Where are they at?
Well.
You know what though? How hypocritical of me. I'm sure someone could look at the things that I do like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that is. I can't really think of one thing.
I don't know. If like a girl's like, oh, he like can't watch sports.
Right.
That would be like, but
Well, I don't like sports, so that's okay.
Or whatever your thing is.
I go to the gym too much. So he's like always at the gym.
Right? Like he's a lunkhead or something.
Yeah. God forbid a man have a hobby.
Okay. I like, especially in terms of manifesting, because there are a lot of singles out there, and manifesting in a way that's more positive and more value oriented versus the know this, know that, but you know.
You know what? And I think now, look, and now that you said that, which is a really good point, and thank you for that. I think I made this list with a little bit of resentment.
Yeah.
In my heart, which who knows where that came from?
Huh?
That's good self-awareness. I really.
So I think
that.
I think if I were to make this list now, especially with your advice, I think it would be much better. Should we do that? Can we get a computer in here?
We are moving on from the dreaded list, because I will say the first date that Kyle does go on, which will be next episode, she was very smart.
Very smart.
And did consume and does reality TV. Mm-hmm. So, got him. Okay.
I have nothing to say.
We're going to move on to dating apps, Sarah. Dating apps are the thing. I want to hear all of your thoughts, because can you remind me, how long did you say you've been doing this?
So since professionally 2020? Matchmaking, yeah, 2020. Okay. So 4 years. I do date coaching, matchmaking. I teach workshops on online dating.
Okay, let's hear just all your thoughts, the pros and cons. Is there an aspect of it where you're like, you know, you're really missing out if you're not going out in person and trying to find people organically?
Just like a lot of technology, you have to think of them as tools. It's just one avenue, one stream. I think people get like hyper fixated that it's like the only way. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. It's like everything's a tool. There's 1,001 ways to meet someone. So I don't think down on dating apps. I think that it's they're actually the number one way people are meeting since like 2018 or something like that. So it's like, okay,
really?
Yeah. You gotta kind of join in and give it a go at least. Right. I think for singles, the big thing is people get really burnt out and fatigued, and it's like overwhelming. Donors start, don't know how to market yourself. I think that's probably one big frustration.
You, Kyle, I'm pointing to Kyle. If you're listening to this, he was using a LinkedIn profile picture as his main photo. And I said, this, we must change. Well, it looked like one.
Oh, sorry, that it looked amazing.
Anyway, Sarah, keep going.
Yeah, I guess like the other big things that like the number one thing that I noticed too is that people make it a popularity contest where you want to be this catch-all, get the most likes, and it's like super broad and like keyword buzzy. I like to travel, like let's get – I love wine, like, you know, just
– omakase.
What'd you say?
Every profile that I come across on those, it's like, of course you like this, of course you like this, of course you like this. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
Be more unique. Okay.
Yeah. And more unique. Or I think it does take time. Like the Tinder put out a study or something, like the average user spends 90 minutes a day.
90 minutes a day.
Yeah. So 10 hours a week. It's a whole working job to be on the apps.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out.
Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Tana, do you think you were at 10 before I made you get off of it so we could do this show? Do you think you are at 10 hours a week?
Oh, beyond? I treated this like I have a problem. I don't do anything half.
I see. Go all in.
Which is like, I'm so glad I never got into drugs because I'd be dead. I can't do things lightly. So right. It was like, okay, I realize this is a numbers game. I'm also a male coming into this realm where it's a completely different experience for us than it is a female.
Okay.
Just seeing my female friends, like the amount of likes they have on their dating apps are like 300 plus. It's unbelievable.
Right.
And then I show them my likes. I'm like, this is zero.
Oh, wow.
Because like I'm the one who's like going out.
The pursuant.
Right. I'm the pursuant. Yes.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, this is a numbers game. I'm going to send out maybe 50 or 60 witty messages a day. I'm going to hear back possibly from 10. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start a conversation with those 10, and maybe out of those 10, one of them actually leads to a date. Mm. That was my experience. Like
it's your funnel.
Yeah.
Hey, so if you're watching this, I guarantee you have a message from me. I mean, I was like,
if you're watching this and live in LA, even maybe don't even live in LA.
No, it was just that. Yeah, it was just
so
within
funny.
A 12-mile radius of me, you got a message.
Do you, how many hours, give us some hours a week, because I want to ask Sarah if there's a maybe line where you talk to some of your clients and you're like, oh, that's too much on the apps.
Right.
What would you say?
Oh, it would be like my wind down routine at night. I would get off work and I would take the dog out and chill on the couch, and I would be like, I wouldn't do anything else, but I was like, let's get it going. Mm.
2 hours, 3 hours a day.
Yeah. I would say that's, come on.
Kyle.
I have a life. I would say at least an hour, if not two total a day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you
7 days a week?
That's all. Yeah. Like full-time swiping basically.
Yeah.
Is that a red flag?
No. Okay. I think, it's not sustainable to do that long-term. So I guess like if people are constantly repeating the same results, it's like, what adjustments can I make to get better matches, more matches, whatever. And again, it's not even about more. I think it is the outcome. Like, am I getting better dates?
Yeah.
Like, if that's the trend, then awesome. Like, things are connecting. Were you on like 10 apps?
No.
Did you one app?
I've only been on one dating app, and it's been Hinge. Because I figured, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I need to narrow it down. I can't have like a bunch of different ones popping up all the time. It would be too confusing.
Hinge, if you'd like to sponsor the show, we'd love to have you. Keep going.
Maybe not after what I have to say.
Oh, no. Okay.
I went on a lot of dates, though. It worked.
Okay.
Like, I went on.
Got it.
Like, but then that's the other problem. I treated dating like, okay, now I'm going to have like.
Like interview questions?
Oh, no. I mean, like, it would be like, sometimes I would have two a day. Like, I'm like, all right, this week I got four dates.
Wow.
But then I put them all through the same thing. It was like, we're going to meet for coffee first. So it's low barrier during the day. Then if I like you, we're going to do an activity. If you pass that, then I'm going to take you to dinner because I'm not going to feed all of LA. I mean, listen, hey,
yeah.
I respect the hustle. I really do.
That's
if
hilarious.
I was a pretty girl, I would never be thirsty or hungry, ever. anyways, so I went through that, and because it streamlined. I was trying to treat it like, and then I realized, ooh, I'm probably going a little too rigid at this. And all the people I met, very awesome, really quality people. They just weren't for me. It was just apparent they weren't for me.
Okay.
So it was never a bad experience.
Okay.
You both use the word numbers game. Do you hear this and you're like, he's going too broad, he needs – or is it a numbers game? If you're dating to find your life partner and marry, are you like, you should be doing it as much as possible?
So numbers game, there's this book like The Mathematics of Love, Dr. Hannah Fry, and it's also like kind of – in other like YouTube videos and stuff. But the demonstration is a city like LA has 8 million people. And if you're like a heterosexual male, like what percentage of that is female? Just like 50%. Okay, down to 4 mil. And then she kind of like adds up maybe 6 criteria, like gender, if they're single, if they're attractive, if they have a degree, and, you know, do they also think I'm attractive? Those basic criteria goes from 8 million to 800.
Oh my God.
Just statistically.
Yeah. Wow.
So with that, it just like tries to put in perspective, like, what really are my deal breakers that I'm setting on here? You know, what am I really screening for? And then it makes you try to, again, like, optimize better and like really challenge yourself. What am I looking for and how can I attract that? Everything that I am, I want that to be mirrored in my partner. So show it, show those things.
When
you that's what I mean by
The numbers game. When you say show it though, just because I'm curious, with Kyle's dating app, I pulled it up and like there were photos. My overall note, which started this, was like, this isn't you. All the way from photos he had on there, he seemed a lot more rigid. Well, now that I'm saying it, people are like, yeah, he's rigid as fuck. But sorry, he seemed like the photos he was using, I was like, let's use more relaxed, fun photos. But the messages he was typing to the women, he was using like hella emojis. And he seemed almost, I was like, this doesn't seem like you. This is like a quirky you. But I think the way you're trying to come across, like you have good humor, is more of, oh, you're a little like quirky. So is that important? Your photos, your bio, your the way you message, do you help clients work on that? Or does it not matter that much for your dating profile?
It matters. It does. You know, you get one split second to make an impression. So photos do matter. But when people are swiping, if they're like ultra fixated on attraction, then that is, that contributes to the problem of like swipe culture, grass is greener. There's, we're so used to that instant gratification too, where we like can get so many options in one sitting. Like that is very modern dating, right? We did not used to have access like that before. So we're over consuming and kind of able to dismiss people a lot easier in today's worlds.
That's a great point, because that's ultimately, if you step back and you look at just any app, but let's just talk about dating apps, like there's boardrooms of people that sit around and their whole discussion and their whole job is figuring out, how do we get more people on here? How do we keep them here? Because that's how they make money. And I realize that. And they've perfectly hacked our dopamine reward system. They know exactly what's going to get us to look at it. Like, for instance, the minute I stopped using Hinge, the minute they knew I stopped and I wasn't looking at it anymore. Oh, it's interesting how I didn't have a single like the whole time. And now I have 18. They just, floodgates opened up. Well, I was like, oh, this has never happened. We think you, Kyle, we haven't been on here in a while. We think you should come back because we found your perfect matches. And I'm just like, eh.
Like they were sending you to more, like their algorithm saw you were stopping to use it.
But when I'm on there, like we were talking about the, with the people, it used to be like our grandparents. They would meet someone and they would find them attractive. And then they would, and if they liked each other, they would just go with it.
They would stick
They
through,
weren't like looking around. And it's weird because when I'm on there, I see myself going like, nah, nah, nah. And then I have this realization that like, I just said no to a person that has lived a whole life that I know nothing about. I don't know what shaped them. I don't know how they view the world. I don't know what their energy feels like. Because for instance, I'll see a girl on there and I'll be like, wow, this might be one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my life. I match with her. We talk. And then as we talk, it's like, oh, ew. You know what I mean? Like, or there's been some times where I've matched with a girl's like, wow, this girl's really cute. Oh, I like what she has to say. And then I meet her in person and I'm like, thank God I didn't swipe on her, because she doesn't photograph well. But in real life, it's like, wow, this person is stunning. And then when you get to know them, they're even cooler. You're like, and I would have, I would have totally swiped past them. So I'm like, is this good for us as humans? Like, to treat people, I find myself looking at people now as like these single serving dopamine hits, and this is not good.
We are conditioned in that, in like the app world, to work like that, and the algorithms are a whole other science thing that are interesting. But it's good that you can like step back and be like, wait, am I dismissing people too early?
Right.
And it's good that you're giving people a chance. In turn, you'd want the same.
Exactly. Because yes. Like I know yeah. people are doing that to me too. Like they're just swiping past me and they don't realize that they're swiping on like the most caring, funny, yeah. supportive, wonderful,
like,
strong, good looking, confident. Has his life together, yeah, has a crying. Future.
Is this on your app?
Yeah. Come on. No, it is. Really it's on there.
Okay, so on that note, I do want to ask about, but it is the algorithm thing is interesting. I've heard a lot of notes. However, Hinge, if you do want to sponsor the podcast, I will issue an apology and I will have Kyle issue that as well about your app. Yeah.
And it's worked.
It's what?
It's worked. Yes. It's just.
Yeah.
So with
you
that.
You got that rose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
don't get me started on the roses. Don't get me started on the roses.
With that. When clients come to you, if someone were to come to you and say, I only want to use the apps, do you encourage people to date in person or go out? Or are you truly just, we've found someone for you? And maybe that's why they come to you, because maybe they're not comfortable going out in public. And
yeah. So one of the big like drivers for matchmaking, number one is time. People don't want to waste their time swiping or going on these repetitive dates. The second is like discretion. So I'll have some people that just will not be publicly dating, or, you know, maybe they don't want to see exes or they don't want to see their work colleagues. So they need like a private alternative, and then maybe reaching a better caliber or a different caliber or a new access pool. Mm-hmm. So that those are some perks to why people would come to matchmaking. But then in addition to that, we kind of do the filtering and interviewing and screening and sourcing. So when I come to you like, hey, Kyle, I have this match, I can tell you about her demeanor. Like I have either met them in person or video. And just give you more of this of the holistic sense, like off paper, who is this person and like why might they be compatible? So it's kind of nice like having like a assistant to support you and like thinking about things and presenting opportunities that maybe you would never have swiped on before.
Right.
Have you ever seen this person's profile, talk to them on the phone, talk to them via video, and you're like, oh, this could be a great match, and then they show up and it's a completely different vibe? Has that ever happened? And you sort of have to tell your client, I don't know how you do it. If you're like, oh, spend an hour on a date, and maybe your client says to you like, I don't know what you were thinking, but that person did not fit with me. Or you noticed maybe they meet you first in person and you go, oh, I cannot match this person with my client. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, I'll definitely meet people and screen them in or out. But dating isn't like foolproof. Like even that, again, that in-person experience might not translate to how they connect.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's some magic to matchmaking, but the compatibility piece is like one aspect. The chemistry aspect is kind of different. There needs to be balance of both. When you have an imbalance, like if it's all chemistry, no compatibility, it's like hot and heavy, 0 to 100, but like the flame can dwindle really fast.
See, that sounds like the vibe. Give me that.
No, that's like all super chemistry based. The all compatibility, it can go 8 years and then it maybe doesn't turn into the fulfilling relationship that we need. So you kind of need that healthy balance of chemistry and compatibility. There's only so much that even a matchmaker, a professional can screen, but chemistry can friggin' grow. I'm always like,
okay,
don't seek the spark. That is like the romantic comedy brainwashing that are, again, more like the dopamine stuff. Yeah. You bump carts at the grocery store, like you meet at Starbucks, you want this romantic meet cute.
Right.
And the reality is that doesn't happen as much anymore.
No.
Okay, so you think that people can maybe meet and there's not an initial spark, but that could still be their person.
100%.
Ooh.
More often than not, I have 100%. To encourage my clients to go on second dates. That ends up paying their
the
match.
The one.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced that in my life.
Amazing.
I mean, I've had girlfriends in the past where it was like, I was enamored with them. Like, this girl's like amazing. And then it just goes away so quick and it never ends well. And I've had ones that were like a slow burn that are, you know, you like them and you're around them. And it's almost like I don't know how else to say this. It's almost like it's like a moss that grows on you over time. You're like, and then you find yourself and you're like, how did how did I get here?
Right.
Because I wasn't like that initial like turmoil wasn't there. And I know some people thrive on that turmoil, that adrenaline and that anxiety they equate with love.
Correct.
Which is can be dangerous, which I don't. And there's nothing wrong with that if you do. Maybe
you're toxic.
You're toxic.
But no, I totally agree. Like, because I'm – this is why this whole thing has been so hard for me is I'm such an in-person person. Mm. I need to feel you.
Ooh, spice.
Like metaphorically, you know what I mean? Like I need to – there has to be something there. There has to be this like give and take. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but it's like this – magic is such an overused word. But there's something there where you go – that's why these dates didn't work out, because I know immediately when I sit down and we start talking, there's just this exchange of energy that's just not there.
Mm.
And I have to be in person to feel that. I can't feel that over a screen with swiping. But that exchange of energy to me is a slow burn. It's like, oh, there's something here. Let's dig into that. Let's learn more about this person. Let's unveil more. And if that energy continues to flow, I know it's a good thing. It is scary when you meet someone though, and that energy is like you can sit there and talk to them face to face all night. That's a different thing. That's kind of like that more that spark where you leave going like, did I just find my wife? No, that's when it's like usually
it might
bad.
Be though, right? Could you have the spark on top of that? Two things. Could you, like what Kyle said, can you meet someone and know right then, oh, this isn't the one? Or do you always say like you should have at least two dates?
Yeah, I think if they are conflicting with the lifestyle you like and it shows up that they don't want something serious and you do, anything kind of like deal breaker oriented, for sure. Like if that's the case, then you don't need to waste anyone's time. If you're unsure, I think check in with your body. You can sense like that's the chemistry part. It's like if you're under stress, that's the spark. Mm. Do not like pay attention to those sensations.
Yeah.
If you're like, wow, like that was enjoyable. Like I had a good time. They seem really nice. I'm curious.
Yeah.
To know more. And also you should be thinking about if you like them, not maybe – I don't know if it's the same for men, but a lot of women are like, did he like me? Did he like me? And it's like, whoa, 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 do you like him? And I don't know if it's the same for yourself if you ever think like, did she like me? Did she like me?
That's a great point.
I obviously everyone's different and I can't speak for all men. But what I do know about us is we immediately, when we meet a girl, we know exactly how we're going, what box we're going to kind of put them in. It's like, this is either not going to be in my life whatsoever, like as rude as that is, it's like we want nothing to do with that. Or this is like, oh, this is a cool girl, but she's a friend.
Yeah.
Or there's the I want to touch this person, you know, there's like
they make you horny.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean the horniness doesn't mean long-lasting relationship. Sometimes the this is a cool girl, she's just a friend is actually kind of more in the middle ground. It's like, oh, maybe what I thought was just a friend is actually something more.
Yeah. That's why I think that checking in the sensations, if you're like, if you felt comfortable, cool, relaxed, we had a great conversation, there seems some similarities, that's worth exploring. And if at the end of the day you call it a friend after a couple dates, no worries. Cool. Like, sounds like they'd be probably on the same page at that point.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I kind of like your idea of having like a reflection after the date and maybe creating like a little checklist for yourself.
Oh,
surprise,
here we
like
go
this.
Again.
No,
with
but
the
like no, but I mean, I think it's good because especially for guys, I think it's maybe more for guys. We're so stupid when it comes to pretty girls that are in front of us, and I think it is a biological thing. Like, your frontal lobe quite literally shuts down. We can feel it. It's like someone pulling a shade down. If we see a pretty girl, it's like, oh no, it's happening.
I feel like some guys would disagree, but keep going.
No, but it, I mean, I notice it happening. Yeah. And we can get blinded by that and realize that, you know, it could be the worst person for us, but because she's like so beautiful, or like, oh my God, she's like so hot or whatever, that's not real. But when we step away, I think it's good after a date to be like, okay, she's pretty. Let's set that aside. Mm. How did I feel around her? Mm-hmm. How did she make me feel? Was mm-hmm. I nervous? Was I comfortable? And after that, not only how did she make me feel, what did we discuss? And do those align with like my values and what I want? Because if the answer is no to any of those, I'm sorry to say it, ladies, but, and the same goes for men, there's so many good looking people mm-hmm. out there that mm-hmm. just because they're hot right now in front of you, go find a hot person that also makes you feel good and hits the things that you want.
Easier said than done.
Very easier said than done. And that's why we're here.
Do you agree with that? Because I do want to know, for women, I think a lot of us, initial attraction, sometimes we can get over. For me, right. I was initially attracted to you. I thought, you're a good looking guy to me, objectively.
Go on.
But I've had some exes where I was not initially attracted to them, mm-hmm. but I got to know them, or they were funny, or they'd have a sense of humor, or like their drive. And then I was really attracted to them.
Absolutely.
Is that sort of like, for men, sometimes I don't think men, not all men, are able to, I think initial attraction is very important to them.
Yeah. If I'm not attracted to you, I don't think there's a realm that I will become attracted to you. Even if you have a really cool personality and like, you'll just be in that friend box, be like, ah, oh, it's just my friend.
That's what do you say cool. about that, Sarah?
I think there needs to be a baseline attraction for both
yes.
people. Yeah. Okay. So baseline, that can be variable from you and from you. But mm-hmm. if you're saying like amazing person, I'm just never going to be attracted to them. Yeah. Like then you do want to move on. But if you find that you're not exploring anyone and you're only going for attraction, then it's like, okay, you need to push yourself a little bit more. Right. But yeah, I don't think that we do need to sacrifice like attraction for the right partner. You will find it in your match.
Find both.
Yeah.
Do you only do monogamous match hookups, or do you do people who want to be in a relationship of three, or maybe they're like, I want to be in an open relationship?
Our firm, Macklin, we're monogamy minded.
Okay.
So there's for sure firms out there that will help with different types of polyamorous mm-hmm. open relationships. It's difficult to find the one match, so we'll stick in our lane yeah. and let people do their thing elsewhere.
That's good to know, though. Yeah. That's very good to know. I would like to know, as a matchmaker, are you single?
No.
You're not.
I am in a relationship.
Okay.
When I first started, I was single.
Okay.
And then you kind of think like, I need to practice what I preach, like everything I'm coaching, I need to embody and I need to implement into my own like dating life. Are you guys familiar with attachment styles?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So those are things that I had to even process and think about.
Are you talking anxious attachment versus secure and
They're different from love languages, where love languages, it's like, this is my thing, and that is typically always going to be your thing. But with attachment styles, they're not stagnant. Everyone's working towards secure attachment, where we're like healthy and stable, and that's the goal for everyone, right?
Right.
But if you are put under a lot of pressure based on like your upbringing and past relationships, you might lean avoidant or you might lean anxious. And I was actually leaning avoidant. I would try to kind of put little barriers around myself and then just be independent and do my thing, not let anyone too close. So after, you know, helping thousands of singles, I'm like, okay, it's time, Sarah. There's finally a point where you start being more vulnerable, working together with someone. I was able to become more secure and attract a secure partner.
How did you find your partner? If you don't want to answer, that's fine.
Oh yeah, we met at No Vacancy in Hollywood.
So
down the bar.
In person.
We met, in person.
Amazing.
2018.
So it was a while
ago.
Okay.
But we didn't date then. So there is a thing about timing and just, you know, working on yourself. And then if things align later down the track. We reconnected, and then yeah, we're together 2 years now.
That's great. Amazing. Congrats. Have you ever gotten in a situation as a matchmaker where either the person was falling for you or you started getting a crush on your client?
Yeah, that is juicy, huh?
Yeah.
I know the most like intimate details of my clients' lives. Mm-hmm. Like I know about their whole family. I go to their homes. Like we create a close bond, and that does happen in therapy, like where people form close attachment. It has happened where people, you know, are just like, so do you want to go out?
And yeah.
I'm not your match. You got to set the boundary. I would never engage in that at all. Like I think I know how to keep it professional. Mm-hmm. And I know thousands of girls, like, don't worry, I'm not your match, but I know who your match is. Like we'll get it sorted.
Now, is there anyone that comes to you where you will not represent, whether or not it's been you or maybe at your agency, where it's just like maybe they were a concern or you were like, no, we can't? Do you turn people away?
Yeah, unfortunately, we turn people away. Just because you have to be transparent. It's like, do I have the right network and resources? Are expectations aligned? You know, Kyle, I would just be like, it was lovely meeting you, but
she'd turn you away.
No. Have fun.
What? Come on. I'm so easy
that's
to work
why
with.
I'm doing this for you. I'm doing the Lord's work.
But yeah, you know how easy your job is? Because I know exactly what I want. That's I just tell amazing. You and you just go find it.
Oh,
is that how it works?
Just 3D print your match? No problem.
Yeah,
you're telling her, do you know how easy your job would be? And she's telling you, this would be impossible. That's what's happening, Kyle.
I refuse to believe it.
It's not impossible. I think it just needs to be revisited.
Sure.
Okay. That's a kind way
And then it's
it.
Very workable from there. Because I think the tools for a successful client, growth-mindedness, which you have. That is
a big
aspect of – because in a partnership, no one is going to come to you perfect. Right. So you're going to have to work together, compromise, do all those kind of things. So that part's big, and the relationship readiness. So, you know, once you're getting into the relationships and building that connection, that's the only time you'll know that you're ready to move forward. Because I can present to you, like, the most amazing, beautiful – perfect person in the world, but if you aren't ready to receive that, then
doesn't matter.
That's a whole other thing.
Well, all I'm hearing is that you are ready to take me on.
Yeah,
Kyle, delicious. This is episode 2 of a show where I'm matchmaking you.
Oh yeah.
And just so you know,
when the show's over,
I have chosen the dates for this show. Nice. My whole goal was to push. Sort of challenge some of Kyle's thinking. So I did not stick to this checklist, and I'm very excited about it. This is going to be a loaded question because I'd like to end on your number one advice for dating and singles, but we're going to go to matchmakers. So there are a lot of people who maybe aren't ready to date or they're in relationships and they like to matchmake their friends because like us, they like used to do it when they were younger. And so do you have any tips for matchmakers? Me or friends or family that like to set their friends up on a blind date. I've been set up on a blind date by my mom and it was horrific.
Oh.
And she thought it was like going to be the love of my life.
So I suppose for anyone like yourself or family members that want to set you up or whoever up, it comes from a good place of good intention, but we also don't want it to be like self-righteous where like this is what I want for you versus what he wants for him. So it's always really thinking back about what are these two people really looking for, and am I kind of being mindful of really what he wants? Mm-hmm. It is good to challenge them here and there. So that's really great. But that I think that would be a big takeaway from here is not to put your own filtering that overshadows like everything that he wants. So that happens,
and
it's not – it's I know there's no malintention at all with that. But yeah, I think that's something for us to be mindful of when we're doing this.
Yeah. So there are obviously – I feel there are more singles than ever and more people dating, especially – this might not be true, you guys, if you can fact check it. But I just feel like especially – women, and we're okay with being single longer. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm 33 and I'm fine with it now. And there are a lot of people who, what? After you, why do you think we broke up, Kyle? You want me to
I don't know, Jessica, tell him. What'd you tell him?
What'd you tell? Okay, anyway, do you think, I would like to know a loaded question, your number one tip, or maybe just overall general, people are out there, maybe they are trying to date and find the one. And so what is your tip for those people?
Yeah, there's so many different tips.
Yeah.
I think a big one is just to keep an abundance mindset, because mm-hmm. that is a better, more optimistic, hopeful outlook, that there is someone for everyone. You know, we have loads of compatible partners, and it is a choice. Yeah, you're choosing a relationship. You have to work on it. It is effort. So I think, you know, not just thinking like it's going to come to you and it's easy breezy. So having the abundance versus scarcity, like no one's good out there. Like everyone's this, everyone's that. Yeah, that's not going to do any service to you. So okay. The abundance and that positivity, that goes a really, really, really long way.
Yeah.
And yeah, keeping an open mind, like that right person can present themselves in loads of different ways. So okay. When you're making a list like this, a lot of times there is, you know, past relationships coming into play. And then, you know, when you're starting to date, it's super easy to start comparing as well. Be like, oh, she isn't like this, or she isn't like my other ex, blah, blah, blah. One of my matchmakers did a really cute analogy when we were talking about clients comparing exes to their new partners. And it's like, you could really love ice cream and you could really love pizza. Those two things are entirely different. Mm-hmm. Why you like them is different, but they can both be really great, and you can be happy with this and you can be happy with that, and then they are not two in the same. So that's just like another good way to think about, like, okay, my perfect person isn't going to be exactly like this or exactly like this. They're going to be their own unique person, and I'm going to love them because that's who they are.
I love that analogy, because I also love ice cream and pizza.
Yeah.
And now 100%. I'm thinking maybe I'll move to Utah and become a polygamist, because then I can have everything.
You can have it all.
You can have a buffet of options.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us, so you obviously, Macklin is LA-based, but are there other areas where it is located around the U.S.? If you're not living in one of the cities it's in, can you still use your agency? How does that work?
Yes. Thank you for asking. We are in LA, New York, and London.
Oh,
so
wow.
Very cosmopolitan.
Hello.
International.
Okay.
But we do service like all major cities, San Francisco, Miami. Everyone's welcome to join. It's very inclusive. Men, women, gay, straight, all love backgrounds, all religions. I think it's a lot of like the psychology principles that is what, you know, are the foundations of a compatible relationship, looking at what is your lifestyle? What are your values? What are your long-term goals? Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the pillars that we want people to focus on, and that we help facilitate connections.
Okay. Lifestyle, values, long-term goals. I need to keep that in going into these next dates.
Totally.
If anyone would like to reach you personally, is that allowed? Do you have an Instagram page?
Yeah, they can reach out to us in all the ways. Okay. Our Macklin website, macklininternational.com. My personal page is at Instagram, XO_SarahJo. Okay. And I'd be happy to talk to anyone that's like interested in matchmaking and just advise them and give them any little coaching tips and tools. It's my favorite thing. The world needs more love, and all about it.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I mean, this was super helpful. Do you have any questions before we wrap up for Sarah going into these dates?
This is it's dating is really hard for me because I don't like to hurt people's feelings.
Of course.
And I especially if I can tell that they're really into me and I'm not into them, it's hard for me to keep putting myself out there knowing that the possibility of me hurting them is there. So, it's not the same for me. Like, tell me I'm not good for you, and like, whatever. You can be as mean as you want to me, because that doesn't bother me, because I know that then you're just not the person for me. But me letting others down is really hard.
Yeah.
Which is probably some people-pleasy things. And I had a friend, I said this last podcast, but I had a friend kind of put it this way. She said dating people is like trying people on. You have to try to see what fits and what doesn't. And it's okay if you put it back, because that's for someone else.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to like work through that, because that's the hardest part of this is – and it's funny because you'll maybe go on a couple of dates with someone and you think, oh, if I let them know that this just isn't going to work out. They're like going to be crushed. But it's like, hey, man, you spent 12 hours with them total. You know, like you barely know each other. It's fine. Like that. And they know what they're getting into. They've met you on an app. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting trying to wade through that. The last thing I want to do is create a wake of just like sadness, because I listen to my friends that are on dating apps that are females, and like the stories they have are horrendous, how people treat them or like ghost them or like disrespect them. And I don't want to add to that. I know that I'm not, but I feel like I am if I'm like, well, here's another guy who just took me out and made me feel nice and then he's not going to see me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any words of wisdom for that, like going into even the show or just in life in general? If Kyle's like, these girls were really sweet, but I need to tell them like I don't want to see them again, or what, any words of wisdom for people who maybe the other person is into them and they're like, it's not going to work.
Yeah, no, I think it's respectable as long as you are communicating mm-hmm. that. Any form of rejection pings and it hurts, and it really depends on, you know, how self-evolved they are too, how mm-hmm. personal they take it. Sure. And at the end of the day, that is their responsibility, how they interpret and receive the information. As long as you're saying it in a respectful way, like, hey, it was awesome to get to know you. You know, I don't see this being my long-term fit. If you have clear reasons, could be worthwhile sharing. Otherwise, you can keep it mm-hmm. more vague. But yeah, as long as you're not ghosting and you're being really genuine, and I don't see any harm, and I think it's – what's better for you is better for them in the long run.
Right. I love that. So yeah, we'll end on that note. Don't ghost people. It's rude. Just crazy. Communicate like adults. So ghosting crazy. Is so wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for this.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
We
appreciate you. Helped so much. Thank you everyone for tuning in to the Date My podcast. And tune in next week when Kyle will be having his first date in studio.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Excited to see.
Yay. Yeah. All right. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.